live from the heart of Los Angeles, the at-home edition of the Life Changing Show.
Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die. Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
Gordon Ray. And now, our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Bobbio.
Oh, this conversation, I have a feeling that we will need to have this conversation more and more and more, especially with what has been going on the past year and a half, and with what has potentially been really an oversight of how to deal with certain things, life maybe, how to deal with life, to have not only the tools, of course, we talk about tools all the time, but when we do get into trouble and we can't see ourselves out, or when some of us are in trouble and don't know we are in trouble with addiction of one form or another. And in talking to our guest, I have learned that there are some forms that every form is different, actually. And though I knew that, unless you know, you don't know. And unless you're close to somebody or having the experience yourself, sometimes you don't know. And frankly, when you're close to somebody and you don't know they're having the experience, or don't know what to do if you think you know, then this is the show for you. There, I've said enough. I think let's just get started so that we can get as much information out there, help as many people with this. And again, stay tuned for much more, many more conversations on this subject today. We have titled the show, Transforming the Dark Phase of Addiction into a New Life, because of our guest, Gregory Silva, and then our musical guest who will be joining us a little later, Jordan Ray. It's going to be such a great show. Glad you're with us. We'll be right back after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com. or AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio online with our co-host and producer, Mark Lejeune.
I can't think of a more important topic than this one, given what's been going on the planet and the lockdowns and the coping of business losses and financial challenges and health and family losses. People are turning to all sorts of forms of addictions. So let's just get into it. This is so important.
You know, actually, Mark, I stumbled over so much of what I started to say earlier during the monologue because I was thinking, well, wait a minute. I think you just heard me say last week, I'm addicted to turning on the phone and looking at all the bad news of stuff going on. I mean, addiction, it is rampant in so many different ways.
Well, there's the psychosis and the dopamine addiction that's associated with the internet and social media and musical influences and TV shows, and I mean it goes way beyond what the definition that some people narrow addiction down to. It can be ascribed to from sugar to being addicted to anger and certain behaviors. And I know we're preaching to the choir with our guest on today, so I can't wait to hear what Gregory has to say.
Absolutely. And I think we have to narrow the conversation down so that we could start someplace, and especially with the focus that our guest is on. So as I said, we've titled the episode Transforming the Dark Phase of Addiction into a New Life. Our guest is Director of Operations for 3 Drug and Alcohol Treatment Centers. He's an associate marriage family therapist and professional clinical counselor and a member of the American Psychological Association. Welcome, Gregory Silva, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, how are you guys? Nice to be on with you, Mark and Filippo. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you on, and thank you for taking the time. The more I got to talk with you, I know that you're very hands-on, so we'll get into that, which is very interesting that I just say that you're hands-on now, because at one time, I think like so many of us, we were living our life, and then some people around us started to stumble and fall, and we either couldn't see the signs, didn't know, or we saw them, didn't know what to do with them, or had to just keep moving forward. And then, so with you, you had an experience that turned your life around that.
I did. Well, my best friend, he was suffering, he was drinking alcohol, he was taking Xanax that he'd ordered from the internet, and I didn't know how to help him. I knew that he was kind of spiraling out of control. But I didn't know where to go to get help. I mean, I called around, I asked around, and I didn't have really any good information, and I was busy in my life. I also was traveling a lot for my work, and I was going to Europe, and he was house-sitting for me, and I knew he was having a particularly hard time. And one day I got to my house, and he had killed himself in my garage, and it was horrible. I felt such guilt, and why didn't I know, and all of those things. Why couldn't I have helped him better? Why didn't I try harder? All of those things. And it took me a little while to wrap my head around it and even be able to kind of go forward in my life, because I was really messed up. But as fate would have it, I changed positions. I took a job in marketing for a treatment center, and kind of the world opened up to me. I realized like all of this information that's out there needs to be accessible to people so that they don't have to go through what I did. And now 10 or 12 years later, every person that I help through treatment, and they get sober and they start to have a great life. I kind of think of my friend Blake and I say, okay, Blake, one more for you. But, it's going to be a lifetime for me to kind of get through this and continue on.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I am thinking of all the people that are around. Like, maybe Blake didn't have other family or friends, but there are a lot of people who do, and big family or lots of friends, or even businesses, right? Careers, employees, right?
Correct. We get patients in all the time that are referred by, company heads of companies that come in because they've gotten one too many DUIs. They've, you know, missed too many days of work. They've tested positive for a substance. So we get them. A lot of businesses have now realized it's much less expensive to send a good employee to treatment as opposed to firing them, rehiring someone and retraining them. It's less expensive and you end up getting your employee back, you know, sober. And that really helps out a lot and it's, you know, saves money.
So what I am sensing is that let's start with the actual person that's going through an experience like this. Let's give it to alcohol and drug related. Do they always know that this is a problem?
Well, a lot of husbands and wives and children and whoever is using, they're great at hiding things. So sometimes it takes a lot to kind of see what's going on. Sometimes people don't want to see. Sometimes people just close their eyes because it's easier. But there comes a point where it can't be hit anymore. There's a car accident. There's, you know, something happens and you have to face it. And when that happens, you know, people have questions. Well, what do we do? People don't necessarily make it a goal in their life to come to treatment. But they sometimes come to the point where they know they have no other choice. And when that happens, that's where I come in. And, you know, for families who are wondering about how to, you know, broach the subject or any of that kind of stuff, the key is to just be honest and straightforward. Interventions help, professional interventions if you can swing it. But there has to be a point where this loved one has to hit rock bottom. And if you're enabling that person, if you're handing them money or making everything okay, or, you know, getting them a new car or whatever you're doing to make things okay, you have to stop that because there has to be consequences before someone will actually realize they need to change their life. And that's where I come in. And the industry that I work in, that's where I come in. But I think I'm very persuasive. I said this earlier when we spoke. I can talk a lot and I can be pretty persuasive, but I am nowhere near as persuasive as fentanyl or heroin or alcohol. They beat me every time. So the patient has to come to me wanting a change, whether it's, you know, from the heart or there's some kind of consequences that they need to deal with, then they come to me. But once you come to treatment, that's where we can lead you through and get your feet under you and kind of figure out what's going on and how to get you sober and how to get you to stay sober.
So as I understand, many rehab centers and treatment centers have hopefully learned better ways or more ways that stick, because you were sharing with me some horror stories in a sense that ended up being positive in the end, but where people have this becomes their new addiction is to have an addiction and then go to a treatment and then have I don't know how to describe
it. Yeah, I see it all the time. It's like the revolving addiction door. And we have mostly kids 18 to 25-ish kind of thing. They're still on their parents' insurance and they decide it's easy to go to treatment. They have a place to stay. They'll leave treatment and relapse and be on the streets for a few weeks. And then they come back into treatment and they get cleaned up and they get, you know, a little bit sober and get some new clothes and maybe a new cell phone. And then they decide it's time to go back out again and use. So we see that a lot. And one of the things that we do is we specialize in relapse prevention. So if people come to us, I've seen people who have been to treatment 30 or 40 times. It's absolutely insane. And so we, one of our programs deals with people who chronically relapse. And the key to this is getting to the core or the bottom of why people want to get high. You know, it usually has to do with some mental health issue. There's a lot of trauma involved with addiction. There's sexual trauma. There's physical trauma. There's, you know, whatever you name it. There is someone who is trying to feel better about what's going on in their head. So they basically start by self-medicating, and it leads into a nightmare scenario. They might, you know, discover an opiate or, you know, take a hydrocodone for pain, and all of a sudden their head, which has been swimming in things for years, all of a sudden quiets, and they say, hey, this is for me. I feel better. And so they take as much as they can until their doctor cuts them off. And so all of a sudden, what are they going to do? They can't get it. So they go on the street and they try heroin, and heroin works for a while, and then heroin gets expensive. So what's next? Fentanyl. And so I see that they move on to fentanyl, and then they overdose and they die. And that's pretty much the sum of it. So we try to get in there at some point and make them realize that this is not going to end well if you don't get some kind of help. And it doesn't have to be through me. There's tons of help out there. There's hotlines for people on state Medicare and things like that, Medi-Cal, what have you, in California. But there are places out there who can help you if you have little to no insurance.
Yeah, Gregory, you talked about a little later, we're going to give out some of those numbers, including yours, and of course the website, so people have different sources that they can call. You also had some, speaking of numbers, statistics that you wanted to share.
Well, it's such a cliche to rattle off statistics, but accidental.
If it makes an impact, right?
Yeah, accidental overdose is the leading cause of death among persons under the age of 45. And that's amazing. Over 70,000 drug overdoses and deaths occur in the U.S. annually. What else can I tell you? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. 28,466 deaths last year were from fentanyl alone. And fentanyl is probably one of the biggest scourges we've ever seen in the drug in the community. You know, it's just awful, and you've probably heard about it on television or whatever. But you know, and then different communities have levels of addiction that range. Women are starting to drink way more than they used to, so we see a lot of women who are alcoholics now. During the pandemic, statistics show that drug use and alcohol use has gone up exponentially. People are at home, they hear bad news, they're isolated, and they are turning to drugs and alcohol to help them feel better. LGBTQ plus population is up to 9 times more likely to use, you know, illegal substances. So it just goes on and on. There's tons of statistics out there, and none of them are good. But it's a scourge. It's the forgotten pandemic. You know, we talk about COVID and the impact it has on us, but drugs and alcohol addiction are right there next to COVID.
You also talked about how, as you were telling me about this kind of abuse or that kind of abuse that may have happened in someone's childhood, you were saying how this is quite common and this comes up a lot. And I was just listening to you, like, dumbfounded how, like, for example, you said sexual abuse is very common, and it was an emphasis, like, that's like all the time, like, occurring and leading to people as adults not having other ways to deal with it, or not knowing other ways to deal with it, and potentially being addicted. So it's not just an addiction. It's the body, the soul, the life, I don't know, the consciousness, yeah. Trying to.
Yeah. We call it a dual addiction, a dual trauma. Actually, we have people that need help, mental health help. and they turn to drugs and alcohol to try to feel better. So it's, we have to kind of unwind all of that when we get a patient in. We have to figure out what part of the brain needs the help and what part of the addiction needs the help, and how we unwind that at the same time through therapy and other kinds of medications and things like that, to kind of figure out what's going on. I mean, sometimes we find that we can get someone sober, but the mental health part stays, and they may need additional or different type of treatment, more skewed towards the mental health. Or we might have someone present, you know, schizophrenic or bipolar, and we get them clean and sober, and all of a sudden those things start to disappear. So it's very complicated. Mm. It takes a big team of professionals that know addiction and know what to look for to kind of sort this out.
So let's talk real quickly, because I have compassion, and I'm sure you do too. And yet at the same time, you advocate tough love. So can we talk about those two together or separate? How can we do that?
Sure. I think I told you a story earlier. I had a patient who was 40 years old. His he had been to over 70 treatment centers, and his parents were on the East Coast, and they continued to bail him out of whatever issues he had. And they would help him get back into another treatment center. They paid for a very good insurance policy, so he could keep doing his thing. And one day I had a conversation with his mother, and I'm like, have you ever said no to this kid? And he had had some trauma early on. He was molested by a neighbor, a friend of the family's when he was younger. They felt guilty for that, and they indulged him, and he was a little, you know, kind of a little brat growing up, and it just continued to go on and on and on, and they never really said no to him. So by the time he got to us, you know, his mother was trying to send him money and clothes and presents and things in the post. And I said, you got to stop. In fact, you've got to cut him off. Just tell him if he does not make it through at least 30 days of treatment, that it's no more. You're not going to get his car out of the impound. You're not going to send him money. You're not going to do any of that stuff, because he knows as long as he has you, he has the option of being out there getting high. So it killed her. She, you know, she was just as trained as he was, you know, for being the codependent parent. But she said, you know, I've tried it the other ways. Let me try this. And lo and behold, it worked. He stayed for us for 30 days. He didn't leave early, because she kind of put the hammer down and said, nope, we're not going to help you. We're not going to, you know, if you want to leave there, you're going to be on foot. And that kind of thing. And he ended up staying with us. He wasn't happy at first, but at the 30-day mark, there was just a marked change, and he ended up going on to lower levels of care. It's been a year and a half. He's doing great now. And, you know, sometimes that's what it takes.
So interesting. There's the person whose parents have supported what seems like support, and yet it like crossed the line to enable, and then they're the ones who are thrown out by the families, right? And that's a whole other thing altogether.
Oh yeah, that's really sad. We get a lot of kids that, you know, this is going to be hard to believe, but I could get people in treatment. Maybe it's not hard to believe for some people, but I kind of grew up in a sheltered little life, and I've seen it all now, but it still kind of shocks me. Kids who had their first, you know, heroin shoot up with their parents.
Oh.
And that is outrageous. Parents who have gone to jail, and, you know, kids who've slipped through the system that are continuing to get high. Women who come to me 3 months pregnant that are, you know, doing heroin or, you know, snorting meth, those kinds of things. And it is really, it can be a really sad, thing, but there is, like, I just want the audience to know that there is help out there there is a way to do this. There is a way to, if you yourself are suffering from addiction, and you've had it up to here and you just want to know like what treatment is like, I want to be available so that I can give you those answers to your questions. It's not scary. It's not jail. It's also not what you see on TV from Malibu or those kinds of thing. It's a little bit of a happy medium. You have a really lovely place to get well. You have great meals and you have a lot of work. You have therapy and things like that, but we also have fun and we get to the bottom of your issues. And, you know, people hug me and cry when they leave. And, you know, they can't believe that for the first time in however many years that they're sober and they're on their path. So, but help is out there. I just want people to know that, that there is a situation for everyone. And you just have to know what questions to ask.
Let's talk about questions when we come back, actually, things, questions that we can ask ourselves or ask our friends and family members. But in the meantime, you started to talk about resources. So let's start with yours are easy, livinglongerrecovery.com, gravitytreatmentcenters.com, and newspiritrecovery.com. We have all this on our website as well under Gregory's listing.
I also have an 800 number. If you call, it's anonymous, and I have someone available that answers the phone, a team of people actually that will answer the phone. And if you can call 833-244-5900, you can speak to a live person who will actually talk you through what coming to treatment would be like, whether it's for yourself or a loved one. We can kind of help you get on the road to where you need to be. And we can also hand out other information for places that may be more suitable for you than where we're at. But there's all kinds of addictions out there. There's sex addiction. There's, you know, shopping addiction. And as you were saying, the telephone is a big addiction. But anyway, there's lots of help out there for everyone. So reach out to us.
Glad to know. And I certainly wasn't making light of. The telephone addiction, it's a real thing for certain people, especially some kids, and that's a whole other show. Seen some not great things around that. So actually, let's put a pin on that and have a conversation. But there were a couple other numbers you wanted to give before.
Yeah, there's a national commercial. There's a national helpline. It is government health helpline for people with government type insurances. Those are easy to sign up for. They're sometimes free or very inexpensive, depending on your income. And you can call 800-662-HELP, and that's 800-662-4357. That's a national helpline that will get you to a treatment center that will accept that your type of insurance.
Wow. Okay. Well, we will be right back. We're going to be talking a little bit more with Gregory Silva on this topic, transforming the dark phase of addiction into a new life. In our next segment, we also have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then a little later on, live music with Jordan Ray, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Questions, questions, questions. I have so many questions, and I'm glad Gregory's here to help not only answer some questions for us, but also to give us some questions to ask ourselves or to ask our loved ones in support of them. And one other thing, but before I say that, I want to mention again how our guest is Director of Operations for 3 Drug and Alcohol Treatment Centers, an Associate Marriage Family Therapist and Professional Clinical Counselor, a member of the American Psychological Association, Gregory Silva. There are also questions that you ask people when they're in treatment, right?
Well, yeah, it's all about listening. It's all about listening for sure. I mean, what the kind of the stages of our treatment is, we get people who come in who are actually high when they come in, and there's a detox period that lasts from, 5 to 7 days, probably depending on what the drug is and how severe the addiction was. They see a physician right away, and, certain meds are prescribed for, say, alcohol. Alcohol is a really hard one to detox off of. There can be seizures and other things happening. And what we need to do is ask, questions about, what their use was and all of those kinds of things. Once we can get someone stable in those 5 to 7 days, the next part is working with therapists and groups and things like that. Of course, there's peers there because peers are important as well. There's some people that have been in the program longer than others, and they kind of help the newbies feel comfortable. But eventually we get to in some pretty intense therapy and one-on-one therapies and group therapies, and there's a lot of questions that are asked, and hopefully people dig deep in their soul and kind of look for the right answer. And everybody's different, so everyone's answer is different. But it's all about being honest and staying committed to being sober and having a treatment center that knows what they're doing is something that can be really, really beneficial.
So I'm thinking of wondering what are the questions one can ask. I know myself, I've been in situations where I've asked people how I can help. And as a life coach, I feel like I know a lot of things to ask. And yet I also know that if a person isn't ready or not willing, that is their right, right?
Well, of course. Like I said earlier, people come to treatment because they're pretty much either really tired of the life they're living, or something traumatic has happened, a car accident, a wife threatening divorce, something traumatic comes up, you losing your job or about to lose your job if you don't get your stuff together. So that's usually when I get the call, and it's usually someone that says, hey, I want to come now. So we explain to them, pretty much what it looks like. We fly you in. We have people come in from all over the country and frankly, sometimes other parts of the world. And they'll come to us and start that process. But if you if you have a loved one that you're concerned about, usually you see these signs. They've completely changed. They lose weight. They have dark circles under their eyes. They are sleeping at weird times. Things of yours go missing. You know, money goes missing. Those kinds of things. You know, people coming home later than they would normally would. And that's when you have to be honest and you have to just kind of lay it out there. I think you're addicted, and you know, let's talk about it. And you know, like I said, I'm very persuasive, but I can't twist anyone's arm to come here. You have to want to come, and it's usually going to be because either some trauma happened to you, you're forced to go, or somebody has decided that they're not going to continue to enable your behavior. And that's probably one of the most important things. So, you know, I'm cutting you off. If you're not sober, you're moving out. If, you know, if you don't do this, you know, I'm taking the car back. You're not going to be driving drunk anymore. If you leave the house in the car, I'm going to be calling 911 and you're going to get arrested for a DUI. Those kinds of things are what needs to happen.
Wow.
So that, you know, it's tough love, and they call it that for a reason. But in the long run, it is saving a life. And then we also do things partway through treatment when the person with us has started to open up and realize, you know, what their issues are. They have a lot of guilt and remorse for putting the family through trauma or loved ones through trauma and drama. And so we can do some group family type sessions. We can Zoom. Do Zoom sessions, or we welcome, you know, a couple of family members to come in and meet with our therapist and kind of work out what happened and how we move forward once they get out of treatment. We can continue with certain rules. You know, you're going to go to so many meetings a week. You're going to get a sponsor. You're going to get a job, all of those things. You're going to take a drug test a couple times a week. Those kinds of things we kind of try to continue on with to keep people on their toes and keep them sober. And it works. The longer someone can be sober, the longer they'll stay sober.
Mm. And so as we bring our conversation to a close, and then we'll give out the numbers and websites again, what is good to do and not to do when somebody comes back from having a rehab treatment?
Okay, well,
if you're in the family, or
so if you're someone who has a husband or a wife who's an alcoholic, and you send them to treatment, when they come back, you better not have booze in the house. You know, you better not have prescription pills laying around. It's pretty simple. And those are things that we can discuss during the loved one's treatment. You know, what's it going to look like when they go home? Are they going to go hang out in the same spots that they used to?
Right.
Are they going to see the same friends that, you know, encourage them to do drugs? No. You know, so those are some things that, you know, we even do a ceremony sometimes where we take phone numbers out of phones. You know, drug dealers, give me your phone. Which ones are the drug dealers? Let's go ahead and take those out. And we do it. Mm. And patients do it willingly. So, you know, it's not 100% foolproof. People relapse. They do. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But we try to do everything we can to make it as easy as possible to stay sober.
And then not mentioning it over and over or throwing it in someone's face is important, I would imagine.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and then there's, you know, couples counseling, family therapy after. Things like that can be really, really helpful. There's sometimes a lot of built-up anger in the one that's not the addicted one. And, yeah, you got to work through all of that stuff. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it can push someone to want to relapse and use. But we, in the 30 days that they're with us, 30 to 45 days and sometimes 60 days, we try to get them to understand what that experience could be like out. You know, we get them to almost sometimes we role play, you know, Would you want to take a drink again? What would you do instead? Oh, call your sponsor. Okay, great. Do that. Call us. We're always available. Call your therapist back at Living Longer Recovery or Gravity Treatment Center. Call them. They're waiting. They'll take your call. They'll call you right back. And they'll talk you through it. Someone familiar, a familiar voice that you heard while you were getting sober might be the difference between staying sober or not staying sober. And then, of course, we have a really, really great alumni group. So everybody who's come through our treatment is in our alumni program, and we check in with them quite a bit, and they can follow along on Facebook, or they can reach us and say, hey, I'm not feeling that great. I'm feeling kind of weak. I need a pep talk, and we're there for them.
Gregory, thank you so much for sharing as much information with us, the good and the bad and some in between. Again, the number that Gregory mentioned for his treatment center, that is personal advice on addiction treatment, it's a free call, 1-833-244-5900, and they also can refer from there. The websites he just mentioned again, livinglongerrecovery.com and gravitytreatmentcenters.com, also newspiritrecovery.com, and that other number,
the national helpline for addiction is 1-800-662-HELP, 662-4357. So reach out. That's my advice, is reach out. I know the holidays are going to be coming up. That's a really hard time for people as well. We see a lot of people indulging and going through some drama and trauma around the holidays. So watch out for your loved ones, and make sure that they're okay.
Gregory, thank you so much. Thank you for, again, being with us, sharing with us, and I trust this is some support to as many as possible. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and wish you all the best.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good luck, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Gregory.
Bye, Filippo.
Bye-bye. So with that, okay, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Marianne, and I live in Costa Mesa, California. We met many years ago when you had an office in the same building I worked in. I was very grateful to know you, and you were always a bright light and very kind to me. I remember that you always seemed to have the right answer no matter what my question was. And now I have a question that I really need the correct answer to. I have a wonderful and very talented friend, and she and her husband have been two of my best friends for over 20 years. She and her husband have had an addiction challenge since we first met long ago. I've done my best to love both of them unconditionally and to not allow their addictions to get in the way of our friendship. However, I can no longer subject myself to their phone calls where they complain about one another's behaviors. How can I stop these kinds of calls? Is it time for me to walk away completely?
Dear Marianne, walking away from someone you love unconditionally may not be the right choice for you at this time. However, what could be the most elegant choice and proof of true unconditional love could be to refuse these types of phone calls and conversations. I have longtime friends who used to call me and repeat their stories over and over again until I finally realized that I was not demonstrating love by continuing to allow them to tell their same old stories to me. I also realized that I was not loving me by continuing to listen to the things they refused to change. Because I love them, I now ask them to please stop if they start to repeat their old stuff. I do this because I know that repeating ourselves over and over and over again simply embeds the situations into our emotional bodies, and I know this does not serve us. Now I simply ask them to change the subject and to talk about happy things. This is the best possible way to help them co-create a better and happier future for themselves and the ones they love. It has been very interesting with my friends because once they change their stories to happy things, we are able to laugh and enjoy one another's conversations. And an added bonus is that they now reach out to spiritual counselors to discuss their old issues with, and they're beginning to make progress in changing their addictive behaviors. I am demonstrating my love for them and for myself by insisting on changing our interactions and conversations, and I believe we are all better off with this new way of communicating. I trust that this will work for you, too.
Thank you happily, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we will happily be back with our musical guest, Jordan Ray, right after this on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. Great time for some music. We are excited to have a pop singer and songwriter from Israel who's now based in Los Angeles. Welcome Jordan Ray to the Life Changes Show.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so great to connect. And we've had a chance to hear so much of your music, and now we're all fans.
Thank you.
So, Jordan, I guess the name kind of, I didn't make the connection. You're from Israel.
No, it's, I don't think my mom didn't plan it, because we moved to Israel when I was three. So,
seriously? So yeah. the name came first.
The name came first, and then it became a little weird because it was Jordan from Israel. But it worked out.
Wow. Well, and such is life sometimes, and interesting and engaging. You have so many different interesting things that you do, not just musically. We're going to talk music in just a second, but you just released a book.
Yeah, I did.
Listen to Your Art. Love it. Okay, tell us about that.
So Listen to Your Art is a book. It's a book that's pretty much you write it. Whoever gets the book, it's written by you. It's pretty much a journal that guides you through different drawings that you complete. And then there's some questions that you just flow write. So it's like free writing style. So you just write without a filter for as long as you can. And afterwards, when you look at what you wrote, a lot of times it's a message from yourself to yourself. And you can learn a lot or release a lot through it. Sometimes I write songs from that. And sometimes it's just nice to get messages from yourself. Because ultimately, I believe you always know like, you know, what you should be doing, or what's, you know, if you're having a hard time, you're the best guide, typically, I think.
Indeed. Well, so Listen to Your Art, and that's available on Amazon, and we have a link for it on our website, but we'll also give Jordan Ray's information in just a minute after we get to hear a song. What are we going to get to hear first?
All right. So I'm here with Steven De La Cruz on the guitar, and we're going to start, okay, let's start with, this is actually a song that I haven't released yet. It's going to be released next month, so you'll get the first listen to it. It's called Saving You.
We're going to get an unplugged version, actually, today, an online live. So what's it called?
Saving For You. Saving For You?
Saving as in S-A-V-E?
Yeah, Saving For You.
Oh, okay. Well, here is Jordan Ray performing her live world premiere, Saving For You.
Is this coincidence or fate? Do we even need to know? Fine with these feelings, though. Wasn't looking for love in this place. If you give it, I'll take a dose. My heart's been feeling closed, oh, oh. Kept myself a bit distant, oh, oh. Wondered what was missing. Not the type to typically stay. Not the one who wanna meet your parents. Always looking for a reason to say, gotta go, yeah, have some errands. Make me wanna get out of my way. Give you love that I've been saving for you. One second and everything changed. It comes when you least expect it. Won't even try to protect it. Way too sensitive for these games. But you make it easier now. No guessing what you're about. Oh, oh. Kept myself a bit distant. Oh, oh. Wondered what was missing. Not the type to typically stay. Not the one who wanna meet your parents. Always looking for a reason to say, gotta go, yeah, have some errands. But I wanna get out of my way. Give you love that I've been saving. Been saving for you. Oh, oh. Kept myself a bit distant, though. Oh, with you this time it's different. Not the type to typically stay. Not the one who wanna meet your parents. Always looking for a reason to say, gotta go, yeah, have some errands. Make me wanna get out of my way. Give you love that I've been saving. Been saving for you.
And there it is, Jordan Ray. Thank you so much. Exciting. That drops when?
Hopefully next month. We're getting ready. We're preparing for it. So there's not an official date, but next month.
Let us know so we can help you share that again. And thank you for sharing that with us here. So Jordan has a link tree. For those of you who don't know, that's linktr.ee and put / Jordan Ray, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, and Ray, R-A-Y-E. And you'll find all her links there. And she's, of course, you can find them also on our website. And so like Listen to Your Art, your art has been a driving force through life, kind of for life, you know, with life for you. How did that start and where has it taken you?
I've been writing since I could write, I believe. Like, I always loved music. I loved writing. Uh-huh. I loved singing. And I think recently I also figured out, I figured out that I'm not the best communicator when things go wrong. And I think that's what where singing comes so easy for me, and it's almost like a release because I can write about anything. Like when I have a heartbreak or any situation that's hard for me to express verbally, I go immediately to my keyboard and I write a song about it. And that's just been always like such a helpful tool. And I think that's why I'm like trying to find ways for other people to write more, because I'm like, this really works. This really helps if you just write about it and you get it out of yourself, you know? Because once it's out of you, you can play with it. You know, if I have a sad story and I write it down and I turn it into a song, and then I change the ending and sometimes I make it happy, or, you know, there's room to play with it.
Wow, that's so important, actually, whether they're making a song of it or making a story of it that they can tell. Like, actually, you know, like so much of what we've talked about today in the Ask Dorothy, of being able to write, change our story as we go along to what right. we would rather have it.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, exactly.
You know, kind of like, you know, if you were writing a song and you didn't like the ending of it, and then instead of just keep singing the song with the ending that you don't like, you know, or a chord that you don't like, is like, you could change the chord. You wrote the song.
Exactly. And you can also change your perspective. Like, also many times you can ask yourself, like, which part of you is telling the story? Is the angry part of you telling the story? Is the adult learning person telling the story? Like, who? Because you have so many, you know, things inside of you that you could feel differently about the same story, but it's like, who do you shine the light on? So it's that will affect your song immediately, just from which perspective of your own self are you writing the song, you know?
Okay, so where does all this wisdom come from?
I meditate a lot. No, I don't know. Writing songs. Because when you write, you have a lot of time with yourself, you know?
Right, which a lot of people are afraid of. So good on you. And or people don't know what to do with it. Also in this time, right? People could be writing more, learning more about themselves, right? So is a helpful tool. So good on you. Well, you also get to meet a lot of people with all the things that you do, festivals, and you work with a lot of DJs and festivals and all kinds of stuff. So what does the audience inspire you? Do your fans inspire you? Does feedback sometimes inspire you?
I mean, I think everything inspires me. My biggest inspiration is relationships. They inspire my writing. And a lot of times I actually have to, when it comes to the audience, I think I have to stop a lot and have that not be an inspiration, because I think then I sometimes shy away from my truth. And I think the truer I am, the songs come out better, because people love the truth. And I think people resonate with the truth. So sometimes I actually think, I'm like, oh, well, I want people to dance. And, you know, then I try to write like this dancey, happy song, but it's not really my truth in the moment. And then it doesn't come out really well. And people feel it, you know? And then sometimes I write a song in 20 minutes about like something that just happened, and then I was like, oh my gosh, that was great. I'm like, really? Like, I was scared to even share it, you know? So I have to sometimes just be like, okay, not let what I think other people want to hear affect what I actually am writing.
Yes, I can speak to that, actually. When I got on the phone with you, and I'm like, I just so enjoyed Big Girl Boots, one of your songs, and I was totally enjoying it, listening to it twice before I call you. And you're like, well, I'm not planning on doing that on the show, so I hope you're not disappointed. But I'm not going to do it. But yeah.
It's so funny, because when I got here, I was like, Steven, do you want to do Big Girl Boots? And he's like, nah. And I was like, okay, because I was affected by you. I was like, oh, Filippo wants to hear that one.
You know what? I've since liked so many more. But what I liked about it was, yes, you were for the show, and for what the moment might have called for, you were like open to hearing what that's about, and saying, was that really something that you were hoping I would do on the show? Because I'm feeling something else. So good on you. And so if you want to hear Big Girl Brutes, it's all over. It's on YouTube. It's on our website. And what are we going to get to hear now?
So this is my recent single. I just released about a month ago, called All Roads Lead to You.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. We took out Big Girl Booths because you sent us the link to All Roads Lead to You. So, right. So I'll stop mentioning it. But yeah.
I know. Like, should we just improvise Big Girl Booths? No, Stephen's like, no. All right. We're sticking to All Roads Lead to You.
So, okay. So here is Jordan Ray. And a big thank you to Stephen De La Cruz, actually. You're sounding great. So here is Jordan Ray.
And he set up the whole system, so this wouldn't have happened without him. So thank you.
And it sounds so great. It's good to have you both. So Jordan's going to be accompanied by Stephen De La Cruz on guitar. Here is Jordan Ray and her song that just dropped, All Roads Lead to You.
Driving home, got lost and ended up at your house. Following the signs on the street, the moonlight on the concrete, my heart pulsing to the beat of the night. Following the taste of my lips when I think of that kiss that makes everything feel alright. All roads lead to you, I'll lead to you.
The road led you to the Life Changes show today.
Jordan Ray. Thank you so much for having us.
How wonderful to have you do that song for us live. And of course, the music is on Spotify. It's on iTunes too, right?
Yeah, it's on all music platforms.
Yeah, okay, it's on all music platforms. And, you know, I should give out your Instagram because I don't think that's in the link tree. So Instagram, look up Jordan Ray, R-A-Y-E, official, right? So you should find her there. And then the link tree, again, would just be Jordan Ray, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, R-A-Y-E. Anything else we should mention while we have you here?
No, this has been awesome. This has been great. Thanks for having us. And
you've been awesome. Look forward to connecting again, and especially when we're live in studio, since knowing you're in LA, at least now.
Yes, then we don't have to set up all this computer stuff.
All right. Well, Thank you to Stephen De La Cruz as well. But Jordan, Ray, what a pleasure it is to get to know you and share your heart and your music with our audience.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And a big thank you also again to Gregory Silver for all he shared today, also from his heart and his knowledge. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive and our producer and co-host, Mark LeJour, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.